Begin the current and final daf Maseches Chagiga, daf Chav Zayin. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues and concludes the discussion of our previous Mishnah and Mishnayis, which we had introduced as the Masechta was told by Maseches Chagiga about the Yom Tovim, specifically the Karbonas of Chagiga and Eilus Ra'iyah that are brought. Now, introducing to that discussion was that although generally Amaratzim, we consider what they touch to be Tameh, however, in the context of Yom Tov, we consider what they touch to be Tahor. However, as we qualified in previous dafim, that's only regarding on Yom Tov itself. Once Yom Tov is over, retroactively consider what they touched to be as Tameh, and hence, since there are Amaratzim all over the base of Migdash, Kahanim Amaratzim, touching things, therefore we said you have to go ahead and table things because everything became Tameh retroactively after Yom Tov. Now, additionally, our Mishnah mentioned, Kol HaKelim Shebe Migdash, all the utensils in the base of Migdash. Now, the Girsa that we have says, Yesh Lem Shneim, that as we said in the Mishnah, that they have replacement, secondary ones, and third tier ones to be able to replace them. However, there are those that say that the Girsa should actually be, as the word Chulu implies, it's going on the later part of the Mishnah, which says that all the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash are Tu'un and Tvila, require immersion. Chutz, except, and that's where Chulu is, except for the following items, which the Gemara is going to quote and bring sources for them, why these items did not require any tefillah after Yom Tov. So regarding the Shulchan, we had said already, as of course we make sure no one touches it, because it cannot be removed. Now there were two other mizbechas, mizbech hazav, the golden altar, which is inside the Heichal, and the mizbech hanacheshes, which is the one on the outside. So the Gemara explains that mizbech hanacheshes, the copper altar, which is the one, at least in times of the Moshe Rabbeinu, that was outside in the Azara, that one does not require tefillah, except like it says a pasuk in Shemais. It says, Mizbach Adoma Tasali, that an altar of earth you should make for me. Now, the pasuk is calling it earth, even though this is the Mizbeach that they would bring the Karbanas Eilas and Shlamim. This is what's known as the Mizbeach that's on the outside. That's what's known as the Mizbeach HaNocheshes. Again, in the times of Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't copper, but that's a reference to the outer one. Now, that one that you bring the Eilas and Shlamim, it calls it Adoma. Now, as we explained in the previous staff, earth, this karka cannot contract tumma. And since we're calling it earth, like an elevated earth, this mizbeach, that's why it does not contract tumma, and therefore they didn't have to immerse that after Yom Tov. The mizbeach hazav, the reason why the golden altar did not require tefillah after Yom Tov, similarly, is the chesed, because it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, when it's counting the different utensils, the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, it says, hamenoira v'hamizbechais, the candelabra and the altars. Now, iskish mizbech zelazel, we see that the pasuk is equating them, it's putting them in one thing. The altars, that means that they have similar halachas, and just like the one on the outside is considered adama, is considered earth, so too the inner mizbech is also considered earth, and therefore does not contract tumah. Therefore, those two things, even if they were touched, b'kam amaratz, would not require tefillah after Yom Tov. Now, that was the opinion that was mentioned. But v'chachamayim, that was Rebbe Elazar, Chacham said, they said, Mimnei Shehei Mitzupin, because they're plated, which from the literal translation of the Mishnah, it sounds like that's why the sages are saying, that's why the Mizbechas don't require tefillah. You're saying the reason is because they're called Adama, fine. But we're saying the reason why it doesn't require tefillah is because they're plated, like the Mizbeach HaZov is plated with gold, Mizbeach HaNochesh is plated with copper. That's why it doesn't require. Now the Gemara asks, Adarabba, to the contrary. Kiven the Mitzupin in Mitamu, like we had a discussion in the previous Dav, because they're plated with a metal, that's why they contract tumah. And that is, if they would not be plated, then actually they would be tar just by the virtue that they're wooden vessels, because they're made out of wood, that's asul l'nachas, that they're stationary. The mizbechas are not moving anywhere. So actually they should not be makabel tumah, not because of adama, but because they're stationary. Now the reason why they would contract tumah, similar to the discussion we had regarding the shulchan, is because they're plated. If it's plated, so then it already, metal could contract tumma even if it's stationary. So that's why it would be makabel, but because it's called adama, that's why it's not. So what are the chum saying, because they're plated, what do you mean? Because they're plated what? Because they're plated, it's not going to contract tumma? That's not true, because they're plated actually should be the reason why they are. So there's two truths the Gemara brings. The Gemara says, Eima, you're right. V'chum mitamim m'nei shei mitzupen. Chum don't hold to the drush of Rebbe Elazar regarding adama. They say actually to the contrary. The mizbechas will contract tumah, and it will be a problem of tumah because they're plated. So though they're wood, that's stationary, which is not makabel tumah, but the plating of the gold and the copper makes it susceptible to tumah, and therefore would be a problem. The Ibai say, or the Gemara says, another interpretation that no. Rabbanan l'Rabbi Elazar kamri. They're also agreeing to Rabbi Elazar's halacha that they're not going to be makabel tumah. So what are their words? They're responding to Rabbi Elazar. They said, "My daitoch." What is your the understanding of your interpretation that you learned the reason of why the mizbechas are going to be tahar because the pasuk calls them adama, earth. But it sounds like from your interpretation, if you didn't have a pasuk calling it adama, then the mizbechas would be tamei, even though they're asal nachas, even though they're stationary. Why would you say that? But it's wood. Wood that's stationary is not makabel tama. So obviously you hold is because they're plated. And therefore you would say that the plating is mevatla, that becomes the primary, as we taught a Mishnah Masechta on the previous staff from Masechta's Kalim, that identified as the plating as primary, and hence then you would consider mizbeches as metal Kalim. However, and that is what Chum are arguing, and they're saying that no. Mivtal botl tzipuin gabayu. It's not true. In this case, we view the plating as secondary to the primary. And the reason is, as we had mentioned on the top of this summit from the previous staff's discussion, that the Torah calls all these utensils of the Beis HaMikdash as wood. We said HaMizbeach eitz, the Shulchan is eitz, and therefore what the Chum were saying was that even without your pasuk of Adama, it would still not be Mekabel Tuma, because it's Asuy L'Nachas. And although it's plated, which is what they're saying, the Chum Oimim Neshe Mitzupin, they were saying, why are you saying this Pshat of Adama? Because you hold that it's plated. Plated, the Chum say, that's not a reason to require a pasuk, because although it's plated, and generally plating becomes primary, but in this case, the pasuk specifically calls them eights, and therefore they are wood, and not defined by the plating. And wood, it's asula nachas, which is the case by the mizbeches, they're meant to be stationary, that alone enough would be a reason why it's not makabel tuma, and therefore you don't have to come on to a pasuk, a drush that you're saying, because they're called adama, because they're called earth. Now the Gemara concludes this Masechta with two drushim. The second one is because of the relationship, how we discussed that regarding Mizbech Hazav, that it's plated with gold. Samim Revaam Rebelaza says, Tamidah Chachamim, Ein Ursha Gehenim Shaletzbehem. The fire of Gehenim does not have any rulership over Talmudic scholars. And that's Kavachayim Misalamandra. It's a Kavachayim from Salamandra. Now, although from some Rishonim it would seem that it's actually the salamander from the toad family. However, Rashi, as seems obvious from the context of our Gemara's drush, that it's referenced to a certain creature that's created from fire. That is, if a fire is burning in one place for 7 years constantly without interruption, then out comes this salamander. Now, the Gemara says as follows. Mas salamandra shetoledes eshi, if the salamandra, which is a derivative, it comes from fire, which, as we said, if it's burning for 7 years. Hasach midama in orishaletes boy. If someone just anoints himself with the blood of the salamandra, then it's like a fire repellent. Fire cannot rule over him. So Talmud Chachamim shall call gufen eish. So regarding Talmudic scholars, that their whole entire body is fire. They're not just anointing themselves with the blood of something that cannot be having control from fire over it, but they themselves are fire. They're still, like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, halakoy devar keishna mashem. Hashem says, behold, my words are words of fire, and the Talmud Chacham is full of the words of Hashem, so their whole body is fire. Alachas kamei v'kamei, all the more so that for sure the fires of Gehenim cannot rule over him. He's totally, as if a salamander is just a derivative of fire, and if you just anoint yourself with its blood, that's a repellent to fire. All the more so if your whole entire body is fire, for sure then that one would not have the fires of Gehenim being shaylit over such a person, which is the Talmud Chacham. Now Amr Shlokesh, he says even more. And that is a different Kal V'chaimer, which is related to the Gemara we're discussing with the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar. He says, "In Urshal Gehenim Shaletes Bepesh Yisrael." You know what? The fires of Gehenim cannot even control, cannot have any dominion over even the sinners of the Jewish people. And he says, "Kal V'chaimer Mizbeach Hazav." It's a Kal V'chaimer from the golden altar, because Ma Mizbeach Hazav She'ein Olav Elo Ko'evi Din Hazav. Mizbeach Hazav is not actually made out of pure gold. It's just plated with a thickness of a dinner worth of gold, which is very little amount of gold. And yet, kamashanim ein or shaletis boy, there's so many years that went by, and the fire never diminished the gold plating that there was. None of the gold had disappeared, which is obviously a miracle, because gold would, if it's constantly treated with fire, it's going to be diminished. So, peish Yisrael, shumalei mitzvahs kareem, and so the sinners of the Jewish people, which, even though their sinners are filled with mitzvahs, like a pomegranate, so like it says the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it says, Kefelach harim en rekasech. Like the section of a pomegranate are your temples. Now the drush is, Al tikri rekasech, don't read it, your temples, ele rekanen shebach. It's a reference of the word rake, Rather, it's your empty ones. The sinners of the Jewish people are kefela harimin, like a section of the pomegranate which has so many seeds. Al achas kama v'kama, all the more so that for sure the fires of Gehenna will not rule over them. And that's because if we see something very little, like an amount of gold, will not have fire rule over it. So then this, that they're full of so many mitzvahs, which are definitely repellent to the fires of Gehenna, for sure the fires of Gehenna will not rule over them. Now we could compare this to actually a Gemara Masechtas Brachas and Perek Haraya. The Gemara that differentiates in the different types of dreams that a person has. So it spoke about what happens if a person has a dream about a pomegranate, a large one, a small one. Then it spoke specifically about if someone has a dream about a half, a section of a pomegranate. And it differentiated between if the one dreaming is a Talmud Chacham or an Amma Aretz. Regarding Amma Aretz, we said if he, even an ignoramus, even like we're saying the Peshe Yisrael, the sinners of the Jewish people, if he has a dream about a half a pomegranate, he should be mitzapel a mitzvah. And the Gemara brings the pasuk that we quote over here of Shir HaShirim, that like a section of a pomegranate, as we see specifically it's a reference to the section, then that's the concept of even the Peshe Yisrael being Malay Mitzvah Kariman. And we could say that the interpretation would be like Nesiva says in his Pirish on Shir HaShirim, and that's because when one gets peeled away, when the pomegranate is finally pulled open, then even the sinners can then be open and see how many mitzvahs they really have. But when it's closed, then they're a sinner, then they have no portion of mitzvahs. But when you finally have, and as we're being Messiah in Masechtas Chagiga and the whole Seder Moed, now, right after Yom Kippur, it's the same element, after the Kapara, the Atonement of Rosh Hashanah, says Mitzvah, Yom Kippurim, and the peel is pulled away, you finally open it up, you have Kefela Harima, and you have the section open up, and you see how much there really is over here. Although on the outside, it looked like nothing's here, and there's all the white matter, but you pull it open, and you see even the Peshe Yisrael, even all the sinners, even Amaratzim, have so many mitzvahs, the Malim Karimon, that the Urshal Gehenim will not be shailing them. And that's the bracha that everyone right now should have, Gemar Chasim Etoiva, a good kvittel, as we're being Messiah, Masechtas Chagiga, Hadner Lo Chaim Bakoidish, we shall return to you. The third parak of Masechtas Chagiga, Parak Chaim Bakoidish, Masligala Masechtas Chagiga, and we've concluded Masechtas Chagiga, and the entire Seder Moed.